Chapter 4, A Media Space for Cultural Exchange. Countless Gaps and Overlaps Among Participants. On August 16, 2013, the Hatakana Show made its 125th broadcast and came into its third year. More than 70 guests from Urbana-Champaign, Chicago, Kyoto, Kobe, and Tokyo, etc., have participated in the show since its inception. Participants in the United States include Japanese living in America, Japanese Americans, University of Illinois students studying Japanese, teaching staff, Japanese cultural researchers, NPO staff, people involved in the Media and Arts Center, people who have experience teaching English in Japan, students, research fellows and their families visiting the U.S., a Buddhist priest, a lawyer, a librarian, etc. Participants from Japan include university teaching staff, students, an elementary school language instructor, people involved in community radio, a shopkeeper, film directors, musicians, and a journalist. The themes of the other types of shows on Radio Free Urbana are varied, covering topics including immigrants, environment and food, Native American issues, sports and politics, technology, religion, and music. The Hatakana Show itself has no specific theme beyond an attempt to connect Japan and the U.S. The guest for each show introduces topics for discussion and speaks in Japanese or English. Some of the guests have been learning Japanese for only a few years, and others speak fluently in the Kansai dialect. We also sometimes speak in English if the guests are unfamiliar with Japanese. The participants from America and Japan do not always share the same language, dialects, seasons, lifestyles, or social circumstances, so countless gaps and overlaps manifest themselves. Crossover between different cultures. When guests from Japan talk about things that the American audience is unfamiliar with, it creates a challenge for the U.S. listener. For example, a resident from Setagaya-ku in Tokyo spoke about buying fresh vegetables produced in the suburbs from a coin-operated locker. Other topics include an event where participants walked along the tsunami prediction line in Kobe on March 11th, 1 year after the Tohoku earthquake. And there was also a story about one girl's part-time job as a maiden at a New Year shrine. Last year, the movie A Grandpa from Brazil, 2008, directed by Nanako Kurihara, was showing in Urbana-Champaign. The movie is a documentary that tackles the theme of immigration between Brazil and Japan. Someone in the audience at one of the showings asked, "How are students from overseas taught Japanese in schools in Japan?" The Hatakana Show dealt with this topic as part of our event information. In America, schools provide education in English as a second language for students who are non-native speakers. In Japan, it is difficult to formally implement Japanese language instruction for non-native speakers into the national language curriculum. We are often moved to reevaluate Japanese society through our experiences in the U.S. Bridging Gaps Between Generations. The Hatakana Show does not only act as a crossover between different cultures, but also bridges gaps between the generations. We had a Korean student at the University of Illinois who loves the pop group AKB48 discuss his fascination with Japanese idols. There are some students who like singer-songwriter Coco's abstract lyrics, and we've heard tales from Japanese guests about anime pilgrimages. Through our discussions with these young people, we learn more about the specific aspect of Japanese culture that each individual is absorbed in, and how they initially became interested in the first place. Some tell stories about becoming interested in Japan through reading manga, or watching anime, playing video games, or from watching shows like Naruto. There are many fans of cross-genre franchises like Pokemon, which include games, anime, TV series, movies, etc., or those who like reading the works of Haruki Murakami. Physical space. It may be helpful to think of the Hatakana Show in terms of the different types of space it embodies. First, there's the actual physical space of the radio studio itself. The studio is in a centrally located building, open daily to the public, and so people who live in the surrounding community can visit it easily without having to go too far out of their usual way. Guests may initially be nervous about going on the air, but most of them eventually find that they are able to relax and enjoy the conversations they have in this modest and unimposing space. But this is only one aspect of the physical space the show occupies, since several of the co-hosts live in Japan, and because of this, they naturally experience the show in an entirely different way from those who are in America and can come to the studio. Time itself becomes an aspect of the physical space of the show. When I am in Japan, for example, I use the internet to connect to the studio, and so my own physical space consists of me sitting alone in a room at my desk, talking to the computer screen in front of me. This is an entirely different experience from sitting in the studio and speaking to a guest face-to-face. Another aspect of these very different physical spaces is the time difference. The people at the studio in the U.S. are doing the show on Friday evening, after a long day and week of work or school. For those of us who are joining from Japan, it's early Saturday morning, and our weekend is just beginning. Another way that physical space affects participants in the show is where the listener is when they hear it, and whether they are tuning in on the radio or listening to the podcast from the internet. Imaginary space. The other primary type of space the show occupies is the space created by imagination. There are as many aspects to this as there are to the physical space participants inhabit. One very important aspect of imaginary space is the way each of us imagines the other. Living as we do in what has been called the information age, an era in which the greater part of the world's recorded collective knowledge is easily accessible due to advances in computer technology and the global spread of mass media, throughout our lives most of us have been exposed to an abundance of facts, figures, and speculation about all sorts of people, places, and things. And consequently, when confronted with something or someone that is new to us in our own actual personal experience, we are nevertheless very likely to have some preconception formed out of the various bits and pieces that we found interesting enough to retain from the many things we've heard, read, or seen about these same people and places previously. These broad, imprecise, and sometimes wildly inaccurate preconceptions form the frames through which we view one another throughout our initial meetings, and this consequently forms another type of space, created within the imaginations of the individuals themselves, and which reflects their own personal image of America or Japan. What guests and listeners from America come to the show thinking about Japan and the people who live there, and what guests and listeners from Japan come to the show thinking about America and the people who live there is a very personal thing, and it is as varied and unique as each guest is. It is this area that I'm the most excited to explore with each new guest because we can, through the reality of our conversation, bring our imagination of the other into direct contact with that other, and in so doing we change not only our imagination of them and theirs of us, but in the process also our understanding of ourselves as well. Social space. Another type of space is the one that each guest and host brings with them to the show. We are all members of different communities, and we each carry along with us some of the perspective and experiences that are unique to members of our particular groups. It is not usually possible to determine where the guests are from, Japan or the U.S., by listening to the radio or podcast voices alone. However, as the discussions move forward, all these voices begin making connections between the people who exist in various real physical spaces on both sides of the world. The listener finds that regardless of where they are physically located, as the show unfolds, they are also drawn into this international radio space as an active, if silent, participant. Radio space. We tend to think of radio as a door to the outside world through which voices, music and news from both near and far can come to you no matter where you happen to be. This is radio space. It is a very public space, open to anyone who cares to tune in. You don't know where the voices are coming from when you hear them on the radio. You only know that they are being sent to you from somewhere else. But radio space also has another type of meaning that tends to be more generational, and how one personally construes this meaning affects what kind of content they expect to hear as a listener, or how they approach their own participation as guests on the show. The generational effect falls along a spectrum of sorts, with one end occupied by mostly younger people, who have less specific notions of radio, and only think of it as one of many long-distance entertainment outlets available to them. They get their media primarily from participatory spaces on the internet, and so are used to the idea that anything can come from anywhere, created by anyone. On the other end of the spectrum, we have mostly elderly people who still tend to think of radio as the preeminent entertainment medium it was during the big band era, with the word radio evoking for them a similar sense of style and glamour to what one might imagine when they hear the word Hollywood. The idea of being on a radio show is sometimes much more exciting for them, and they tend to be more formal and nervous when they enter the studio. The middle of this spectrum is occupied by people in their 30s to 50s, who tend to think of radio as the mostly youth-oriented music and pop culture outlet that it was for them when they grew up in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Radio to them exists on a more human scale. It's something personal, and they tend to connect more directly with the voices they hear. They are more likely to feel that they are being talked to, not talked at. Generational aspects aside, just about everyone imagines radio in a different way, depending on the role radio has played in their daily life. So each guest and listener comes to the show with a slightly different idea of just what radio actually is, what it means, and what it's supposed to be used for. So while radio space is an imaginary space, it can also be said to be one aspect of media space. Media space. There is a famous quote from media theorist Marshall McLuhan in his 1964 book Understanding Media, The Extensions of Man, which reads, "The medium is the message." In this book, McLuhan was pointing out that the content one receives from media largely depends on the medium itself, since each type of media has aspects which engage the user in different ways. Some, like a book, allow the user to consider a message thoughtfully, reconsidering and reviewing at will and at leisure, and others, like radio, force one to catch what they can of the message as it passes quickly by. A listener to the Hatakana show who only hears the show as a podcast can re-listen at will as many times as they like and whenever they have the time and interest to do so. They receive an edited version with the flaws, technical problems, and awkward places removed. Someone hearing the show on the radio, on the other hand, hears it live as it is happening, with all the human and technical failings intact. It passes by them at its own speed and forces them to keep up. If you are listening in a place with a noisy background, if your grasp of the Japanese language is tenuous, or if you are otherwise distracted, you'll miss some of what is being said, and your processing of the messages contained therein will be very different from that of the podcast listener. Media space, therefore, can be considered to be a space that resides somewhere in between physical space and imaginary space, since it has tangible aspects, yet primarily acts upon the imagination. Contact zone. The discussions that take place in the contact zone, where these various types of space intersect, are, as a result of this contact, blended into a single story. Its apparent simplicity belying the complexity of its preparation, that the listener will hopefully be educated and entertained by. Each of the participants is affected by these different types of space in various ways, depending upon who and where they are, and while this may be said to be true of any contact between people, in the case of the Hatakana show, the effect of these differences is both heightened and brought into the foreground by the differing nationality of the hosts and guests and the varied locations of the participants, listener, guests, and hosts around the world. Think globally, act locally, and link creatively. For me personally, I find that the discussions which take place on the Hatakana show facilitate a process whereby I, as the host, can develop a further awareness of myself and all of the various spaces in which I exist. The different kinds of prejudices and preconceptions I may have been unconsciously carrying with me, and further proof of the old saying that the more you know, the more you realize that you don't know. It is fascinating to me to realize that all of this is possible because of that small, overcrowded room with its outdated and poorly maintained equipment, buried in the depths of an old post office building in a town surrounded by cornfields. Because radio has a reach so far beyond the extent of the physical space of the equipment required for producing it, the space it creates can be even greater still, limited only by the imagination of the listener and the time and efforts of the ordinary people who work to make the shows. By also utilizing the power of the internet, we've taken a hyperlocal radio station and given it a global reach, bringing Japan to America and America to Japan, truly capturing the essence of the phrase, "Think globally, act locally," to which we at the Hatakana show add, "and link creatively." Welcome to the world of the Hatakana show. Incidentally, would you be interested in speaking on a Japanese-American radio show? Think about it for a moment. What might you have to talk about, and how would you imagine the people who might be listening to you? If this idea intrigues you, then welcome to the world of the Hatakana Show. We are always looking for people to join us.